And now it's time for Blossoms of My Life Radio with your host, Ramona Trevino. Ramona is a teacher, a pastor, a three-time author, and radio host since February 2018, helping people share their But God moment and helping people see and be the blossoms in life.
This program is a production and sponsored by Blossoms of My Life Radio Ministry and listeners like you.
Now here's Ramona.
God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Blossoms of My Life Radio. Thank you so much for faithfully tuning in every week. I'm really honored to be able to introduce to you a brother in Christ, Brother Louis Cortez. So he was born and raised in Gilroy, here in California. He joined the military. Life happened. He moved to San Diego, and now he lives in Ensenada, but he has an amazing testimony of what God has done in his life, that wake-up call that sometimes some of us have to go through before we can realize that we need God in our life. And so I'm just honored that God chose today for us to be able to talk to him and hear his story. And to God be the glory of everything, right, Brother Louis?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And so why don't you, I know a lot happened to when your eyes were opened to God. There was a lot of tragic things that happened in your life, but maybe let's start from the beginning of some of your testimony from the beginning of maybe you in high school and then going into the military, different things that happened before things got really dark.
Yeah, I remember when I was young, life seemed to be really good as a child, but that all changed. When I remember at 8 years old, my uncle, who I thought was my brother, was really jealous of me because I took over. I was the youngest of the boys. And one day he goes to me at my grandparents, my parents, and I'm like, what? She goes, and he points out to this lady who I thought was my aunt, that's your mother. And I go, what? I'm 8 years old and I don't understand what's going on. He goes, she didn't want you, so she left you at the front door in a basket. And I'm believing all this. I'm believing the lie. So I asked my mom, are you my mother? And she says, yes. But in my mind, I go, why don't I live with you? She had her family. She was remarried. And the answer she gave me didn't make sense to me. And at that age of 8, my life turned upside down. I became angry. I became angry at God. Because what I knew of God, he was a good God. And I didn't understand why God allowed that. So I turned away from God. From then on, I was always getting in trouble. My family was not very encouraging. I was the black sheep of the family. I started to drink at a young age. I hung out with older guys. Started to do drugs. And all I heard from my family is, you're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up dead. And when you constantly keep hearing that, you start believing it. Mm-hmm. And they'd ship me off to different aunt and uncle's house, and I would see they had a mom and dad, they had a family, and it just made me more angry. And this kept going on, and I get in trouble with the law. And as I got into junior high, started progressing in stronger drugs, started smoking pot, started taking pills. And then as I progressed to high school, started selling drugs. I just didn't care. But then I just said, you know what? I used all that what everybody said I wasn't going to be. It gave me strength to want to go out there and prove them all wrong. In my mindset, I told myself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. It was just me, me, me. So after I graduated high school, I joined the military because I got in trouble. And the judge goes, it's either go to jail or join the military. And I didn't know anything at that time. So I joined the military. And I just wanted to get away from Gilroy, from all everything that Gilroy represented to me. Mm-hmm. I had no happiness that I remember from Gilroy. The only person that cared for me was my grandma. And she's the one who showed me love. But everybody else is putting me down. So I went to San Diego. And the drug problem followed me. And I met my wife there. And she was doing drugs. And we both did drugs. And we had a kid together. And she changed. She's like, I'm going to start going to church. Would you go with me? And I just didn't want anything to do with it. So as she started going to church, she started to change. I was young. I had a good job. I bought a home at 22 years old. And I'm like, there's no problem with me. I don't have a problem. But yet I was a great provider, but I didn't know how to show emotion, how to show love, because I didn't get that from my family. I got it from my grandmother, but yet I just tuned it out because I was afraid to let people come in my world because of the hurt. I didn't feel worthy. And I was always afraid, like, what do you want? Why are you trying to get close to me? Because of the hurt and pain and abuse I went through, physically and mentally. So my wife, we had a child together, and then we had a second child. And after 7 years, she divorced me. And that really rocked my world and just changed everything in my life. But it didn't change me spiritually. It made me worse. So I remarried a second woman based on drugs and sex. She didn't care for my children. And I didn't realize at that time that that would affect my children when they became adults. Mm. The generational curse is continuing.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult because I was just constantly high. I had a good job. I had a home. I was a functional addict. And all these things that were happening good in my life and positive, I did that. I did it. God had nothing to do with it. That's the way I thought. So I was married to her for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I talk to my children today. We have a better relationship. And I was a great provider. But emotionally, I didn't know how to love them, caress them, just give them what they needed. I just thought providing would be enough. My daughters would go to church with their mother, and they, Dad, would you go to church with us? And I go, yeah, next week. The only time I went to church, Rowena, was Easter and Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I look at my watch, like, when is this going to be over? You know, I'm just like, then he's like, get out of here. The flesh telling me you need to get out of here. And it'd be over. And then my daughters, as they grew, saw that, well, my dad doesn't go to church and he's doing okay, you know, materialistically. He has a job. But yet it started to affect them.
Yeah.
As when they became adults. So my older daughter had some issues at church, and they ridiculed her for it, and it broke her heart. So she broke away from the church, and my younger daughter just distanced herself too. And so I was in San Diego. I did Navy time. I did 3 years. I was selling drugs in the Navy.
Wow.
And I almost got in trouble. And they wanted me to sign a confession because one of the guys in my barracks got caught with marijuana. And they found a picture of me holding marijuana, two IDs, and it was just a picture. They did a locker search. So they called me into the legal office and said, what is this? I go, oh, it's just a picture. They go, well, we're going to have to turn it into NIS. That's like Naval Investigative Service. So time went on. I still had like a year and a half late to go, and they called me into the office to NIS. And they're like the Naval Investigative Service for the military. And the guy's questioning me. He goes, I have enough information here to send you to Leavenworth, to prison. And I go, I don't know what they're talking about. Because as a child, as a kid, I'd get in trouble with the cops, and I cheese on myself. Then I learned, just don't say nothing.
Right.
Just don't say nothing from my experiences with the police. So I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not signing anything. And he goes, I go, can I leave? And he's yelling at me. He goes, I'll see you in court-martial. You're going to get court-martial, and you're going to go to prison. And I left there with fear in my life. The first time when I felt like, wow, this is it. So I had a year left in the actual active Navy. And nothing ever came over it. 2 years later, I was doing reserves. I'm still under the Navy umbrella. Nothing happened. And I got lucky. Everything bad that happened, I got away with luck. So I lived in San Diego for 40 years. I sold drugs for a long time. I had a lot of anger towards my mom. A friend of mine, Renee, went to prison, and he became a Christian in church in prison. And he would call me, and he'd go, bro, did you forgive your mother yet? I'm like, dude, you don't understand what I went through. I was like, I don't even want to talk about that. And it was eating me inside. It was like cancer, the hatred I had, the anger, the rejection, the abandonment I dealt with. And all these bad spirits that were in me. And he called me again. You forgive your mom yet? I was like, oh. And then I would go see him in prison. First thing, you forgive your mom yet? Then one day I said, enough. I called my mom. And I said, I need to talk to you. So I asked her when I met up with her, why? Why did you give me up? What happened to my father? For me, my father died the day he left. But I see my mother all the time. And it just made me angry at her, I didn't want nothing to do with her. I snarled at her. And I just said, tell me why. And she goes, Louie, I was young. My mother asked for me and your sister Linda that she could take care of us. And, you know, Ramona, as a parent myself, I couldn't understand that, how a mother can do that. But you know what? Now that I'm older and mature, I don't know what she was going through in her life.
Right.
And I told her, I forgive you. But it wasn't like a light switch where you flip it on. I go, oh, mom. It's just like I put it behind me. I didn't forget, but I put it behind me. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd be okay. But yet, no. I was still hurting inside. So I lived in San Diego for 40 years. In 2016, I left my job. I was a supervisor. And I worked for a good company, aerospace company, Gemini, for 34 years. I had a great job. I was making a lot of money at a home. But one day, something inside of me is like, all that ugliness I had as a youngster, I used that to make me stronger. And I learned to compartmentalize all these issues. Going to work and dealing with pressure was nothing. People go, how do you handle it? Well, if you knew what I grew up with, you know, you would understand. It right. strengthened me. But I didn't realize all this was God was building me for something. I never looked at it like that. I do that, and I see it now. And I went to the doctor because something wasn't right. I started feeling anxiety. I started feeling like something's not right. Something I never felt. So I went and saw my doctor, and she goes, Louie, you have diabetes. It's really high. She goes, what's going on? I go, I'm under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. And she's like, and I go, I need some time off from work. And she goes, you need to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. She gave me a list of all these different people to see. So I start going down the list. Oh, we can't see you for 2 months. I can't see you for a month. Mm. I needed help now because I was losing it. And when I was married in my second marriage, I actually put a gun in my mouth and said, you know what? I don't need this life anymore. I'm through with this life. And I cocked the hammer, the gun, and I just, and stuff just stopped me. Because I just felt unworthy for someone to love me. So the psychologist goes, well, let's talk about your childhood. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah. And she's like, Louie, it's not your fault. It's not, but you know what? This happened to Louie, it's not your fault. And I go, well, this happened, Louie, it's not your fault. You're just a kid. You didn't ask for any of that. What happened to you, the abuse you went through, you didn't ask for that. They took advantage of you. Mm-hmm. So you need to realize that you're a good person. You need to get over these things that you run through your head. So she gave me time off, you know, from work, and then work wasn't going too well. A new management took over, and this guy had a master's degree, and I was a supervisor making a lot of money, and I never went to college. I just grew through the ranks. So me and him would go back and forth, and he just didn't want me there. So I got to the point where something's going to give. I'm going to either have a heart attack or I want to knock this guy out. So I decided to retire. I had it all figured out. I got my 401. I got enough money to make 62. I had it all figured out, like I always thought. And I left my job, and I decided to move to Ensenada. Everything started out okay, but I still had the addiction problem. I still had the alcohol problem. But the worst part about it, I still had the ugliness, and I was in the darkness still. Mm-hmm. So being here, like that saying, idle hands is the devil's workshop.
Yep.
It's true. I just had too much time on my hand. The only difference between here and living in the States, drugs were cheaper. Accessible.
Yeah.
Just like over there. If you want it, you'll find it.
Great. So
I started doing drugs. I continued to do drugs. I started doing meth. I smoked meth. I take pills. I drink. I was with a lot of different women. And I had a friend, Rick Soto. So Rick Soto would call me. He goes, Louie, I'd trade my place with you anytime. And he put things into perspective. And I go, you're right, bro. Why am I whining? My life's not that bad. So November 2018, Rick died. And I lost, like, the only person that understood me. We grew up at school, and I could see myself slipping into more, deeper and deeper into darkness. So then I had problems with my kids. I'd call them, and they go like, "Ah, I can't talk right now." So those triggers of abandonment and rejection triggered me. You know, and I didn't realize, I know it today, that they're busy in their lives too, mm-hmm. You know, and it's the way the world is today. Everybody texts. I want to hear their voices. I want to tell them I love you. I want that personal relationship. And my sister, she's been looking for our family, my father, for a long time. I go, "Linda, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm already dealing with enough stuff." So she did that 23andMe or something like that.
Yep, yep.
And she ended up finding our family. My father was from Puerto Rico. And she found some cousins that live in Florida.
I remember that.
And then she dropped the bomb on. Go ahead.
I said, I remember that.
So she told me, and I was like, "Linda, I don't want to know. Why are you doing this?" So then I found out that my father was dead, and I was like, "Good." I was like, so I went to see my daughter in Chicago. And when I go visit my daughters, I would clean up, and I go there partially sober. And my daughter's like, "Dad, why are you so sleepy?" You know, because I'm trying to recover. So we end up having a big blowout. And this was like in 2019, around March, around April, May. And she goes, "Dad, I don't want to talk to you now. The kids were going to come and visit me." She goes, "I don't want my kids around you." That really just hit me hard, Ramona.
Yeah, that's...
It just, like, took me...
That's when it's kind of like when that next generation, our grandchildren, are affected by our, you know, addiction. It's like it takes on a whole nother level. I agree, because I remember that. I remember that time when my oldest told me, "If you don't stop, I'm not going to let you be around my son." And it killed me. Like, I need to stop drinking, right? And but I'm so grateful that she did that, because I needed to hear that wake up call, like, enough's enough.
It was very hard for me. And my other daughter was, you know, we had a better relationship, but it just felt like I had nobody. And, you know, when my daughter told me that, drug addiction is a slow way of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You're just eventually going to kill yourself
mm-hmm.
if you keep going that way. So a friend of mine, this is all happening in 2019. My ex-girlfriend calls me and she goes, "Louie, Yolanda's in the hospital. She was an employee that worked for me, a real sweet lady." And I go, "Well, I'll be up there next week." She goes, "You don't understand, Louie. She only has a couple of days, and she's asked to see you." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm high, and I'm doing drugs, and I remember my flesh telling, you know, I don't give the credit to the enemy. It's our flesh that makes us do things too, you know?
Yep.
And I remember telling myself, "Stay here, man. Get high. That's her problem." But the little bit of good I had in me, I called my friend who's a solid Christian who got out of prison. And he goes, "Louie, do you want to have that guilt on your conscience that she called you?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, what do you got to tell me this for?" So he goes, "Bro, I'll go up there with you." But I didn't want him to see me in the condition I was in. So I made an excuse. "Bro, no, you can't go, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "All right." He goes, "Bro, I want to ask you, tell you, ask her a couple questions." Does she know Jesus Christ? Has she received Jesus Christ as her Savior? He goes, ask her that. And I'm like, okay. So that night I couldn't sleep, so I took some pills. And I got up in the morning, and I was all groggy, so I smoked meth to get up. And I made the drive from Ensenada to San Diego. I get to the hospital, and her daughter's, Louie, I'm so glad you came. My mom's been asking for you. And I'm like, why do you want to see me for? All her families are there, and they're like, why does he get to see her? And she had told them, because my mom wants to see him. So I went, and she goes, my mom can't talk, Louie. She could squeeze your finger. And she goes, prepare yourself, Louie, because you're not going to recognize my mom. So I'm like, man up, Louie, man up. So I go in there, and I'm like, oh, my God, Louie, don't start crying, please. So I go, Yoli, how you doing? She's like, she smiles, and I go, you wanted to see me? And she squeezes my finger, yes. And she goes, you wanted to see my smile? And she squeezed my finger, yes. And I go, Yoli, I want to ask you a couple questions. I go, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Well, Mama, she squeezed my finger. And I felt this jolt. It almost felt like electricity passing through her to me. I'm like, what the heck? And then I was like, oh, man, I'm high. And then I asked her, Yolanda, did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And boom, it did it again. And I backed up, and her daughter goes, dude, Louie, are you okay? You look white as a ghost. I go, I'm just emotional seeing your mom like this. I don't know what was happening. So I go, I gotta go. So I left and I drove home wanting to get high so bad, because I was like, what the heck just happened? I didn't know what was happening. You know, why did I feel that? So I fell asleep on the road and I rear-ended a semi-truck carrying propane. And my truck came to a standstill and the driver gets out and I get out. There's only damage to my truck. And he goes, you drunk? I go, no, I fell asleep. I went to go see if. So I reach in my pocket and I give him $1,000. And he goes, all right, get out of here. So I get home and I hit my chest against the steering wheel and I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, what's going on? So I started writing this text to my daughter. I need help. I'm in a bad place. Everybody that knew me didn't realize the addiction problem I was dealing with. Because I always functioned.
Right.
I was always,
nobody can see it.
Facade.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to my daughters. And I remember in my head, the enemy goes, he just laughed. They don't care about you. I care about you. I've been with you since 8 years old. Who do you think's been taking care of you? And I just said, get out of my head. And I called my friend up and I go, dude, and he started praying for me. So a week later, my daughters show up to my house and my friend. And they had called me, Dad, what's going on? And I just told them, this is what's going on. And then they showed up. They did an intervention and told me if I don't go to rehab, that I would not see them or my grandchildren anymore.
Yep.
They didn't want that around their kids.
Yep.
And I go, okay, I'll go next week. And they go, no, Dad, you need to go tomorrow. Little did I realize they had it all figured out. They're going to come and get me. So I said, let me call my, you know, Joe Celaya?
No.
Anyway, he grew up in Gilroy. Find out he's my uncle, my grandfather.
Oh, my goodness.
Had a baby from his mother. So anyway, he struggled. He works with Victory Outreach. So I go, Uncle, is there a Victory Outreach here? And he said, I, and he goes, yeah. So my daughters contacted him, Little did I realize what I was getting myself involved in. So they take me there, and they turn me over to the guy, and my daughters are like, Dad, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to be here? We can take you to, like, a Betty, you know, a nice place. I go, I don't know. Something's just telling me to come here. You know? I don't even know what the Holy Spirit or any of that yet. So I was sick from the drug usage and coming off the pills. So they put me in a room where you detox.
Yeah.
And I'm in there, and anxiety just took over me. That day they left. They left me. I got to get out of here. I can't deal with it. I got to go. I got to go. The enemy's like, come, get out of here. So I go up to the top of the hill to try to catch a bus. I came here without a phone, without any money. I just came with clothes, and that was it. The taxi guy wouldn't even stop. So I come back down the hill, and the brother goes, God doesn't want you to leave. I'm like, dude, shut up. Quit it. And then the pastor pulls up, and he's like, what's going on, Louie? He wants to leave, Pastor. I'm like, ugh. So the pastor like, what's going on, Louie? I go, I can't deal with this. He goes, dude, you just got here. And he goes, let's pray. So the power of the prayer that day settled me down. He goes, do you want to talk to your daughters? And my daughters just stayed the night in Rosarito. And I go, I called them up, and they're like, what's going on, Dad? Do you want to leave that place? And I said, you know what? I told you I'd do 30 days. No, I want to stick it out.
Can I ask you a question, Louie? In sake of time,
sure.
In sake of time too. But so when you got there, did they offer you salvation? Like, were you able to do the salvation prayer? Or were you not ready to even do that? It was more about just trying to get sober.
I wasn't ready yet. So I wasn't ready yet.
It was more about just getting yourself clean from the drugs.
Yes, that's how it started.
Okay.
Because I was like detoxing, and then I'd get up and go to, we'd have Bible study, and it was in Spanish, and I was like struggling. Santiago. You know, I'm like, this is totally different. So there was an American guy there, Mexican-American. He would help me translate.
You were...
Because it was just like...
You were just in the environment, but hadn't fully embraced the idea of salvation. I know that there was like...
No.
I know we have to skip to a part because there was a really bad accident, and that was kind of your wake-up call, I guess you would say, to when you finally realized that God was real, I guess you could say, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Could you go to that part, just the sake of time's sake, so we could get that? I wanted everybody to hear your struggle, because your struggle's real. Abandonment is real, and generational curse is real. It can happen. And we have the ability to break that because of the love of Christ and just being, you know, accepting him and his forgiveness. And so could you go to, when did you have your wake up call?
Okay. So 2 months later, after I left the rehab center, I had the first accident in September, November 4th, 2019. I rolled my truck going to San Diego. I ended up in the hospital for a month. Ooh. At that time, I was on the fence. Yeah, I started reading the Bible. Yeah, I believe, kind of like believe, you know, I was lukewarm. So in the hospital, I had a lot of time to think. I had people come lay hands on me and tell, you know, you're going to heal, Louie. You're going to heal in the name of Jesus. And I was just like, and I just said, God, I want to change. I surrender myself to you. I accept you, God. I'm tired of doing it my way. So when I left there, started to believe, and I started feeling different. And God started taking that pain away from me. God started healing me. And then I got baptized. And when I got baptized, I was like, wow, everything's going to be okay. No, it wasn't okay. It was even harder because the enemy kept coming at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so when I went to my daughter's house, like I was telling you, I didn't drink. I'm 5 years sober now. But I struggled who I was. I was reading the Bible, but yet something was still missing. So I came back here, and my daughter came because I had to have a defibrillator put in. And I went to AA with her, and I've seen other people that are dealing with the same issue of alcohol addiction. And I was going to church, and they were like talking about their higher power. I'm like, what do you mean higher power? It's God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And I go, that's what I claimed. But it helped me understand what I was dealing with alcohol was.
Yep.
So at church, I'm praying to God, God, find purpose for me. So I heard the pastor talking that he works at a rehab center through Calvary Chapel. And I go, hey, I'd like to go there and give testimony, you know, be part of that.
Yeah.
He's like, sure. So I went there when I had the first accident. The same day, 4 years later, and I'm giving testimony. And I realize it's 4 years later. And I realize this isn't a coincidence. This is God.
Yep.
God put me in that place. And I was just like, and I'm telling these guys how God saved my life, how God changed my life. And I can only do it through Him, through Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ covers me. And I go, you guys can do the same thing. I go, I dealt with 50 years of addiction and darkness. So I still didn't feel right. I still needed. And I go, God, is this all you have for me? So I overheard a pastor that comes to our church talking about Teen Challenge.
Oh, nice.
And I go, hey, I gave him a little bit of my testimony. I go, I'd like to get involved in that. And he goes, yeah. He goes, you got to get certified. This is Global Challenge to Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So I did that. And then I did a Living Free online course. So I did my first ministry at a rehab center here of young men from 18 to 30. Where their parents send them there. It's almost like a jail environment.
Yeah.
And I did a 9-week course with them. And I could see God changing their lives.
Wow.
Using me as a tool, telling my story, telling them what God did for me. You know, they call me Papa, Tio. And I'm like, man. And they go, they go, they just out of respect.
Wow.
And there's guys in there that are dealing with psychosis, schizophrenia, withdrawal. And I see one guy who was sitting in the corner with his hoodie over. He started talking and reading scriptures. And I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place and God working.
Wow.
And I was like, tell these guys, God is helping me to help you, which helps me.
Yes.
And now I'm having other opportunities to work at other centers. And I embrace that. And I'm thanking God every moment. God, thank you. And God, all that would happen, God would just prepare me for this.
Mm.
And I never understood that. Like when that lady touched me, It was the Holy Spirit jumping in and jolting me, you know, starting me off, waking me up. Yeah. But I didn't realize that. I didn't realize the transformation I was going through, all these different steps.
And the Lord needed her, the Lord, that's why she wanted to see you, because more than likely the Lord had already been communicating with her and probably let her know, you need to call Louie, like he needs this, you know? And so, yeah, that was definitely a divine appointment.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't understand all that.
No. Like, yeah. Sometimes we,
you know,
Yeah, sometimes when we're going through things, when we're not awake to the spiritual things of God yet, you know, we're kind of, now we look back at it and you're like, oh, that's what that was, right? Because now, you know, we are able to, and, you know, I think the thing that's powerful about your testimony, Louie, you know, your story of how you came, it's like, yeah, there was a dark hold on you from a young age. Definitely the enemy was really trying to stop, because see, now the reason why he wanted to stop you was because you're changing lives now. Like, you're a powerful tool for the Lord, right? You're a vessel that can save other souls. And he knows that your testimony is powerful, that the Lord's, you know, the Savior was able to release you from that hold after all those years. And so now there's going to be a lot of souls saved through you. And he was trying to hold you back. You know, I mean, that's basically it. He's trying to take you out. But God sees things in a whole nother way. You know that now. His ways are not our ways. And wow, that's I love what God's doing through you and for you. And I love that you finally found that place that you could go and serve, you know, because serving is really important. And leaving everything, you know, and knowing that nothing is there unless it's because of God. It's not about you anymore. It's about him.
Amen to that. Because you know what? When I had that second accident, I feel it was a Job moment. God says, you can harm him, but you ain't going to kill him.
Yep.
I have purpose for this guy.
Yep.
And it just shows God's greatness, you know? When I had my heart surgery, the doctor goes, you're lucky. You had that act. I go, it's not lucky. This is all God.
Yep.
God knew something was wrong with me. Now I'm healthy.
Yep.
You know, everything that happened was God. God was always with me. I just had to open my eyes, soften my heart, and just say, God, thank you for always being there for me.
Amen.
And he never forgot me. He's just waiting for me.
And even
turn my life over.
And even as a young boy, Louie, even when you were a small child, you know, words are powerful. I was just talking to my students at the school I work at about the power of the tongue and how words that are said to you could be, you know, I still have words that were said to me as a young child that still are there. You know, it's easier to deal with when you know Christ, but they're powerful. And I was trying to teach them about how they can be there with them for a very long time. Somebody even just saying, you're no good for nothing. And you might remember that voice and those words for years and sometimes manifest on that. But, you know, it goes back to you being born, your mom doing what she thought she needed to do, your grandmother seeing that she needed help, grandmother stepped in, took charge. But from the moment you were woven in your mother's womb, you know, God already had instilled purpose in you.
Right.
But the enemy was just trying to take you out because he already knows, like, you're going to be a powerful testimony. But everything that God instilled in you when he wove you in your mother's womb, it's all good. Like, what God creates is good. And so it's going to manifest now into good things. And if you just keep tapping into all of that that is already in your fibers of your being, there's no stopping you.
you know, like my daughters now, they see what my life's changed. I'm transformed. They're starting to come back to church. Praise I remember God. My friend that came down on my intervention. He goes, God's going to use you, Louis, to turn your family back to Christ.
Yep.
And I'm like, what?
Yep.
You know, this is all going through my head.
Yep, it's a promise.
I went to Chicago a month ago in March, and I went to church with my daughter and her family. And I look over at her, and she's crying. And I go, what's wrong, honey? She goes, Dad, I prayed for this, that God would change your life.
Praise the Lord.
It took 50 years, Dad, but you're here. And we're here together.
Praise the Lord.
And her daughter struggled, and she's a Christian now.
Praise the Lord.
My younger daughter starting to go to church, and they were all raised in the church. They see me now, the head, and it's like, I'm a different person. And they're like, Dad? I go, yeah. I got that old dude gone.
And praise the Lord for that. You know, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you just to talk to you about maybe how they could get some help, maybe they have a child that's going through this kind of stuff, or maybe them themselves, whether female or male, listening to us today, could they get a hold of you, Louis? Do you want them to get a hold of you through me, or you're on Facebook?
Yeah, you can give them my part. Just let me know that I don't answer the phone if I don't know who it is. So if you gave me a heads up, I'd be happy to talk to somebody.
Okay. You're
and
on
let
face-
them know that
you're on Facebook.
There is hope. Yeah, I'm on Facebook too. I'm always putting the message of God on there.
Okay.
You know, God gave me that platform. I'm going to use that platform because I've lost a lot of friends, Ramona.
Oh, yeah.
And God says that. He's going to sift through all those people, you know?
Yeah.
Well, those were never friends in the beginning.
Right. They're friends of the world, and not of the spirit.
Yeah. And my friends today are Christian people, you know what I mean? And going to these centers, I told myself, God, if I could save one person, let it be, Father. But I want more than one, Father God. Yeah. I want to save as many as I can. I want to lead them to Jesus, and Jesus will do the rest.
Praise the Lord. He's the great physician. He's the great I am. Wow, powerful testimony, yes, Louis. So anyone that's listening to us, you know, Louis Cortez, powerful testimony. Maybe you're struggling with trying to let go of certain vices that are bringing you down. His story is truth. God is the only one that can release you from that and break that bondage. The enemy is a liar. Don't listen to the lies. You were born in the image of God, created that way. The Lord knew your name before he created the foundations of the earth. There was nothing. And then he created the foundations, but you were already named. He already knew who was going to be your parents, whether they're good parents or not parents in your eyes. He still had purpose for your life. And if you don't know the Lord, it's a simple prayer of repentance. And when you repent, you're saying you're sorry for all the things that you've done, acknowledging the things that you've done that you know deep down inside are wrong. God instills that in us too from the beginning. And you ask him to forgive you. And repenting means you don't go back to it anymore. Yes, it's going to be a struggle, but you do your hardest not to go back to that anymore because you repented. And you ask him to be your Lord and Savior. You serve one God, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you just serve him, and you accept him as your Savior. And that's what that means, born again. You're born now of the Spirit, no longer of the world. And then you find a good church and you read your Bible because that's the living word. That's the manna that's going to sustain you now. And you find people to surround yourselves with. And like Louis said, you're going to lose some friends. They don't want to do the right thing. They want you to keep doing the wrong thing. but you need to be, you're chosen and set apart. And when people call you Holy Roly, that's okay. Because holy means set apart. You're set apart for something greater than what you're doing. And so, you know, we invite you to do that. Louis, we're at the place where I'd love to maybe have you pray us out, and just kind of maybe just close in on what I just said to our listeners. But if you would close us out in prayer, I would really enjoy that.
Okay. I just want to say to people out there, I dealt with 50 years of addiction and 50 years in darkness, but God changed all that.
Amen.
God's there when you're ready. So it is the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Praise the Lord.
I am so happy. I'm just full of joy. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. And I just want to thank God for that and give him all praise. I'll go ahead and say the prayer. Dear Father, God, we come to you in prayer this morning. And thank you for this opportunity to speak with Ramona and share my story.
Thank you,
Father God, we give you all praise, glory, honor, and adoration, Father God, for what you are, Father God. And thank you for the opportunity to draw closer to you. Thank you for opening us up to the Word and the Word opening up to you, Father God. And we thank you for this day, another day of life, Father God. Father God, use my testimony to help others out there who are not sure, Father God, who are on the fence, who are lukewarm. Somebody who needs help, Father God, use this platform to reach out to them. And Father God, if anybody needs prayer or someone to talk to you, use me, Father God. And I'm happy to serve you, Father God. And I'm just so proud and happy to do this. And just want to say how much I love you, Father God. And I just continue to ask the Holy Spirit to give me guidance, direction, and wisdom and knowledge as I continue to grow and walk with Christ. And I want to thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Blossoms of My Life Radio. This program is listener supported.
Blossoms of My Life Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
To contact Ramona regarding donations, sharing your God story, or requests about her books, you can write to Ramona. Ramona Trevino, P.O. Box 22731, Bakersfield, California, 93390. That's P.O. Box 22731, Bakersfield, California, 93390. Her website is the letter I, the letter M, dauntless.org. That's imdauntless.org. Her email is ramona@blossomsofmylife.org. That's ramona@blossomsofmylife.org.
This program is a production and sponsored by Blossoms of My Life Radio Ministry and through listeners like you.
And in closing, we just want to remind you to remember to see and be a blossom in someone's life.